Hello and welcome back to Softballing with Us. I'm your host, Janae Lazenby.
I'm Mikaela Crabtree.
And Martha Clinton is not with us this week. She's actually out of the country right now. So it's just the two of us, but we're going to give you the best show ever as always. So let's get right into it with the T-Mobile Crimson Classic. So the Tide took on UT last Friday at 6 p.m. here at Rota Stadium, and it was actually a great game. It's like we predicted the first game was going to be better than the second game. And I feel like the Tide really did well in this game, even though it was a close one, 5-4. Definitely was, I would say it was a kind of a hitter's battle. Not necessarily the only reason why UT even stuck around with Bama is because they just had those two home runs. They really weren't putting up like runs like Alabama was. Alabama was getting their runs off of, you know, actual hits, putting the ball in play and whatnot. So it was definitely a different kind of vibe. Montana Faust started that game. It wasn't really her best game, but it was, you know, good enough for the win. And the reason why I say it wasn't her best game because she lost her the minimum of 10 strikeouts per game in that game. So that's why I say it wasn't her best, but that still was a win for her, which is what the Tide needs and what you want to see from your players. So she played really well, in my opinion. And the team also played really well overall. I just feel like it was a really good challenge for them, even though UT is not ranked anymore since the beginning of the season. It still was a good challenge, and it was a regional rivalry that you always see for the Tide.
Yeah, it was a really good game. A lot closer than I wanted it to be, but it was a great test. I think Texas will probably be back up in the rankings. I think their record might be a little bit more deceiving than what they really are. But it was just such a good test, and it was not like they were getting those home runs. They were getting those hits. They were getting to the bases. And it was not like, let's just try and bomb it out like the first few games. I'm like, they did the basics, I thought. I thought they kind of got back to the basics. And like you said, Montana didn't have her best game, but we were still able to get the win. And I thought that was just so impressive from the team Friday night. And then we go Saturday, and they were still able to get the win. And it was still a battle. I mean, if your team can battle it out, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, then you got a pretty good team right there. I know it's, like I said, I know Texas is unranked, but they're a very deceiving team, and I think it was just like a great win for the weekend.
Yeah, they just struggled at the beginning of the season, but they're still a legit team. Definitely Alabama will probably see them again in a regional, but they definitely will be making the regionals again, without a doubt. They are a great team. They have a lot of great players. They have a great coach. You know, he has a history of being a great coach, you know, coming from Oregon and whatnot, which is also a powerhouse for softball and just sports in general. You know, their history is really good. And when Allie Shipman was still lighting it up for the Tide, she really went 3-for-3 on that game and had 2 RBIs also. So Allie Shipman literally is that player. It was actually really shocking to see her strike out for the first time on Saturday in the Miami-Ohio game. I don't think I've ever seen her strike out so far.
I wouldn't have imagined that for a Miami-Ohio game.
Yeah, but Miami-Ohio played the Tide really well on Saturday. Saturday, let me keep it clear. Saturday, they played them well. Sunday, different story. But yes, let's get to the Saturday game. So the Tide opened it up 2:30 on Saturday against Texas. You know, they saw a little bit more of that gap with a 3-1 win. When like I said, not really the best of the best from the Tide, but still, you know, they are still the better team. Montana Faust got her 8th win with that one. Jayla Torrance started out the game. She did pretty well. Wasn't giving up any runs, and she gave up a couple hits, which, you know, it happens sometimes, but she was doing really well. And the crowd also, let's shout out to the fans. They sold out Friday, and they also sold out Saturday. So that was excellent on that part. But Allie Shipman continues to do it again with her 4-game hit streak and earned at least a one RBI in the five of her last seven games. So Katie Tao, she extended her reach base streak to 16 games. I know that it's now 17, which is tied for her highest, because she tied it for Sunday's game against Miami of Ohio. So the Tide is lighting it up. Also, Jenna Johnson had a diving catch in the middle of the game, and that really fired the Tide up, I would say. It looked like the ball was about to drop, but she had a diving catch. And the Tide wore their dark gray jerseys, which are my favorite, personally. I really like the dark gray ones. But they've been playing good and whatnot. That's definitely what you want to see. And they've done what they needed to do. They've definitely stepped up, you know, with Lexi being out. And they're being down to three pitchers, Montana, Jayla, and Alex. They really have stepped up and made sure that the team is always within winning chances, as always. And this is the first games of the season with the Miami-Ohio game, and the second UT game was the first time the Tide has not scored first, but they still ended up winning. But that was the first two games of the season that they had never scored first. So that was actually really surprising.
Oh, absolutely. I want to talk about Megan Bloodworth. What a freshman she is. I mean, oh, yeah. I want to go back to the first game. Her first time when she steps up, started the season, I mean, gets home runs. I mean, I cannot brag enough about that girl. What an athlete she is. And she just went up to there, to that plate. I mean, she just knocked it out of the park. And so, she's like a boost. I know she's just a freshman. She's like a boost of confidence. Like, I love Allie Shipman. I love Jenna Johnson. Don't get me wrong. But I love Megan Bloodworth and what she can bring along with those seniors and juniors and everybody else, of course, but what she can bring to the table. Yeah. I love watching her. I get so excited. I'm like, what you gonna do, Bloodworth? Also, that last name is just awesome.
Yes, she's a really exciting player. It was her first time doing the interviews with the reporters this weekend, and she was just so excited on Friday. Like, you could just see that she's like, she was like a nervous excited. It was really funny.
She's like, but, hi.
So it was, talked to her about that home run. She had that solo home run, but she really secured the win for the Tide on Friday, that 5-4 win. She was just, you know, see ball, hit ball type thing. And Coach Patrick Murphy said that she does that all the time in practice. If we went to practice every day, we would see her do that every day. And I, without a doubt, believe him.
She's just a hard worker.
Yeah, you definitely see her on the defensive side of things, too, you know, playing second base. You really see her make errors, and that's really good. That's what the Tide needs. In the second game of the day on Saturday against Miami of Ohio, the Tide played pretty well. They struggled, like I said. This is the first time where they didn't score first, because Miami took the lead with a solo home run, which was, you know, kind of like gut-wrenching. But it was really surprising also, but it was off of Alex Salter. Alex Salter started that game. So it was iffy. And then the Tide didn't score their first run until the bottom of the fourth, when Abby Dover drew a bases loaded walk to tie the game. And then Jenna Johnson came with a sack fly, bringing in Bailey Dowling. So things started heating up, but the Miami didn't really go away, and they backed it up with an RBI. And then Dowling smashed a 2-run home run into left center field, which was great. If you guys don't know a little background about Bailey Dowling, she missed a lot of last season, tearing her MCL and her ACL in her left leg. Yeah, so this is a lot. And it's like, if you come to the games, you see her playing with that brace, but it seems like the brace is really not holding her back. This is not her first home run of the season. She's been hitting well. She's been running around the bases. She's working her way to, you know, to taking that brace off. I talked to her about that. I was like, so when do you think you'll be able to take it off? She's like, well, it's just a day-by-day thing. You know, she's just working towards it, but the brace is definitely not holding her back. She's also great on the defensive side of the ball, making good, you know, I don't know how I would say it, but, you know, a spin throw, I guess you could just call it like that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the ball was, you know, going across her body, so she had to turn to throw it. So she's still making good plays, whether it's not. So it doesn't look like that injury or is holding her back, which is a good thing to see and what Alabama needs and just what she needs for herself as a player.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, I haven't really noticed the brace on her. It's just been like, wow, look at her go. Just, I'm so glad we have her back because it's like, I wonder what we would have had last year with her, but now you get this year with her. I just think it's almost like perfect timing.
Yeah.
But I want to be careful there because I'm not happy she got injured last year. You never want to see that. But I do think it's more perfect timing this year for her because look at what she's done so far. I mean, the girl's an athlete. I mean, you can have her in the defense. You can have her up to the plate. She's just so reliable. I'm so excited we have her back. And it's just, I can't wait to see her now in conference play. See what we can do against that naughty, gaudy Tigers.
Yeah, I definitely can agree with you. I would have enjoyed seeing her play, but to talk about last year, that also goes into Claire Jenkins. So last year was my junior year. So at the beginning of that sophomore year, Claire tore her ACL, came back and tore it again. Then the junior season, and it's kind of funny and iffy because, her and Bailey Dowling play the same position. They play shortstop, and they literally tore it. Same spots on the field, same everything. And it's just crazy that had to happen to either one of them, especially Claire Jenkins with it was being her last season and whatnot. So not getting to see her play, definitely. I know for a fact it took a toll on her more than it took a toll on anybody else, but it definitely was someone I was looking forward to seeing play because Claire was good on both sides of the ball, just like Bailey Dowling is. She's great on both sides of the ball, so definitely something that you don't want to see happen to a player. So on Sunday's game, the Tide played really well against Miami of Ohio, coming out getting the 10-2 win, winning in five innings. They started Montana Faust, and Jayla Torrance came in for the save, which is really good. Like I said again, with that whole thing with Lexi being out is great. So now the Tide is 20-0, winning against Miami of Ohio, heading into this week's game. So let's talk about some of the scoring plays that went on. So Ashley Prangy started off at the bottom of the first, but again with that solo home run for Miami Ohio at the top of the first, which is really shocking because Montana Faust, like, you really don't see people when they hit off of Montana. It'll be usually pop-ups and stuff, but you know when you see those good players hit, because Montana pitches so fast and so well that if you hit the ball just right, you already know it's going over the wall because it has the speed on it. Like, she pitches literally 70, 71, 72, 73 in 4 miles per hour. So if you know physics, if you throw that ball at 70-plus miles per hour and you hit it, the velocity and the speed off the ball is just going to carry the ball. So you saw that first in the UT game, getting the home run. And then now in the Miami of Ohio game, it's just I want to necessarily blame it. I'm going to just blame it on the fact that she's having to pitch a lot more because her teammate's out, because you don't really see that much when it comes to Montana. But I know for a fact that she doesn't mind. She just shakes it off and comes back and fights harder. I feel like it just adds fuel to the fire. Like, Montana is like one of those players where, oh, okay, you did that? Well, now I'm just going to have to show you, She's one of those players. So Ashley Prangy scored on a fielding error and started off making it 1-1. Jenna Johnson drove in a pair with a double to left field, making it 3-1 at the bottom of the first. Then at the bottom of the second, Allie Shipman poked a two-run single through the right side. And then bottom of the second, Jenna Johnson drove in with a bases loaded single to left field, making it 7-1. Then at the bottom of the second, Jenna Lord drove in Kaylee Tao from second with an RBI single. And at the bottom of the third, Kat Grill stole third and then hustled home on an errant throw. And then at the bottom of the third, Dallas Goodnight tagged up and scored on a Prangy sac fly RBI, making it 10-1. And then at the top of the fourth, They scored off an RBI triple that bounced off the center field wall, making it 10-2. But the Tide, obviously, they shrugged that off and didn't let them score again, which is great. Like I said, Montana Fowles came out, got her 10th career one. And then Jayla Torrance came and got the save for 2 innings. So that's really good. And the fans were very vibrant all weekend, which is great and what you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the weekend I was asking for. I mean, you play hard against Texas both days, and then you come in and play Miami Ohio. The first game, I thought they might blow it out just a little bit. I thought the score might be just a little bit bigger than what it was, but still, that was a good game. And then you dominate Sunday to finish it up, to wrap it up the classic. And so, I can't ask for a better tournament than that. I mean, Montana... We're seeing the effects of Montana kind of having to, without Lexi, Montana having to pitch more, which I would rather her more rested when we go to LSU. But you've got to get Jayla and Alex Salter some starting practice. I mean, they need experience. And so I thought Jayla did really good for a few games. Alex still needs a little bit of work. But, hey, that's part of being a friend. I believe she's a freshman. Correct me if I'm wrong.
She is a freshman, yeah.
Yeah, but, and she's still got, like, junior, sophomore, senior. So she has time to grow. And so it's just a matter of time of when she figures out, hey, when the batters can stop reading her pitches and she can start figuring out getting the batters not to recognize her pitches, basically. But I thought overall it was a great tournament. Love the fan support. Now, if only we can get TV to work, let's put softball on TV. I cannot scream that enough.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you're going to start seeing softball more on TV in the bigger games. Hopefully this week in Alabama will more than likely be on TV. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to get back talking about this upcoming tournament.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, and we're back. So Monday's game was canceled due to the weather. They were planning on playing against Eastern Illinois, but it was canceled due to weather. So this weekend opens up SEC conference play. Finally, it's here. It's that time. It is spring break, though. But tomorrow, the Tide was supposed to have their first game against LSU in Baton Rouge, but it is being moved to Saturday, where it will be a doubleheader due to the weather. So Saturday, the first game will be at
1 o'clock, and then the next game will be 3:30.
Yeah. So, but they were originally supposed to be at 6 p.m., and then 8 p.m. on Saturday, and then 2 p.m. on Sunday. But instead, it'll be a doubleheader. So we'll see who really wants it with that doubleheader. Because LSU is ranked number 21 and Alabama is ranked number 2. And, you know, everybody knows that LSU and Alabama are rivals. So it should be a great game no matter what. And for them to be in Tiger Stadium, it's going to be a great atmosphere. I know that all the raging Cajuns are going to be out there supporting them. So get out and support the Tide or watch it on SEC Network, which is where I will be watching it for sure. I'm pretty sure they'll put probably both of Saturday's games on SEC Network, since I know Saturday's game is supposed to be on SEC Network anyway. So they'll probably be both on there. Then on Tuesday, March 15th at 4 p.m. in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Alabama will take on Southern Miss, which should be a good game to, you know, warm them up going into their huge game on Wednesday against Florida State Seminoles. And this will be a Women's College World Series matchup game, and it will be a rematch for them losing to them in the semifinals. So this is a huge game.
Huge weekend.
Yes, huge weekend. I hopefully Lexi can come back, because they struggled more with Lexi than they did with Montana if you watch that series last year. So hopefully Lexi will be here, because if not, then they'll go against Montana, but I don't, I'm not really worried because Alabama has such good players now that play Bailey Dowling's back now. Then you have Allie Shipman. Then you have Ashley Pringy. Then you have Megan Bloodworth. Jenna Johnson.
You have all these newcomers
and all these people that also were here. So I definitely expect to see a different kind of feel, and Florida State also is not playing as well as they were last year, so I'm not too worried. But then this weekend, also that weekend, March 18th through March 20th, they kick things off against Kentucky here at home at World Stadium. And like I said, Kentucky sometimes is just Alabama's kryptonite when it comes to softball.
They find a way.
Yeah, they just have Alabama's number. Like, it's always a rivalry with them for some reason. They always want to come up in here and try to beat Alabama. But, hey, it's going to be changing of the guards, rolling of the tide this weekend. I definitely expect to see a lot. Let's do some score predictions. Let's start off with – so the first game, LSU. Montana's probably going to pitch on the road. Then Jayla Torrance will be in the second game. And then Montana will probably start third game also. If Lexi's back, then it'll be Montana, Lexi, then Jayla. I definitely see the first game going great. LSU is very unpredictable this year, I would say.
Yeah, they've got great. They've lost to Troy. Yeah. They've lost to Notre Dame.
Yes, but they've come out and won the big games, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem with them. They've lost to these small schools, but they've won the big ones. I know they lost to Washington, but they beat
And they lost to Michigan.
Yeah, but they lost. Who they beat? Some ranked teams. I know.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
yes.
They beat Oklahoma State.
10-2.
Yes, and Oklahoma State was ranked at like number five or seven.
I think they're seven now.
What were they at the time?
They
were number seven at the time, and so LSU's still been number 21. So for them to beat these lower schools like that. Like I said, LSU is known for being good at softball, and Oklahoma State's also known for being good at softball. So, like I said, this team is not a joke, and they love playing Alabama hard. Every school loves playing Alabama hard. So, I definitely don't see them run-ruling them first game. I probably see it being like 5-6. Not 5-6. Like 6-3 is what I
was going to go like 5-3 first game, maybe like second game.
Second game a little bit closer. I see the second game being probably like 3-4 or something like that.
I might go 4-2, something.
Yeah, something closer. Third game, it's going to be probably a tough battle too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say close to, I'm going to go with like 6-3 or 6-4. 6-4 on the
I might go. I might go like 5-1. I feel like 5-1.
Okay.
Because I feel like they'll find the groove and they'll figure out what to do, and so I think they'll have a big game Sunday.
Okay. Southern Miss game. I definitely see that being a run rule game. I'm going 10-0.
I'm going 7-1.
Or something like that. Yeah. Something similar. Now this Florida State game. I want to look at.
Oh, that's big game.
Florida
right there.
State a little bit. Let's see. But I see Alabama winning this game, definitely. If they don't, Patrick Murphy's going to go up in flames.
And as definitely as he should, I'm going to go, what do I want to say, Florida State? This is so hard. I don't. Because I'm scared. They're still a really good team.
Yeah, I don't want to give them.
Not as good as last year's, but they're still a good team.
Yeah, I don't want to give them too big. So, Florida, they've lost only one game. They're 20-1. And they beat Mercer 12-0, beat Kennesaw State 4-0, beat Loyola 8-2, Kennesaw State again 11-0, South Alabama 4-3. Beat number 15 Tennessee 9-3. Beat number 9 Texas when they were ranked 9-2. Beat number 16 Michigan 2-1. You see, number 16 Michigan. That's shocking that game was so close. But as you see, these ranked opponents, they're blowing them out 9-3, 9-2. UCF, who was number 24 8-0. They even beat number 3 UCLA 4-3. Beat Florida A&M. 2-8-3, but they beat Hofstra. Half true. Something like that. To 3-0.
Something.
3-0. Like, so why are you only beating them by 3? Then they beat Indiana 9-0 in 5 innings. Then they beat Hoff again 10-0. And then they came back to Indiana, only beat them 3-1. So they're kind of wishy-washy. Then they beat Florida A&M 8-1. Then they only beat Oakland by 1, 6-5. Then they beat Pitt 3-0. Then they beat Pitt 10-0. Then they lost to Pitt after beating them 10-0, run ruling them 5-7. So that's when they're just very up and down. And then the Furman game, they won 2-0. And so their game that was supposed to be on Wednesday, yesterday, was canceled. And so then they'll play Georgia Tech this weekend. And then they'll play Lipscomb.
And then
they'll play Alabama. So good. They have a game before, just like Alabama does, which is good. Hopefully Georgia Tech beats the bricks off them or something.
That would be
wears
nice.
Them out or something.
Wear them out for
yes,
us.
Yes, wear them out.
So something. I'm going to say it's going to be a tie game like at the top of the fifth. Yeah. I'm going to say Megan Bloodworth, bases loaded. Somebody hit. I'm going to say it. We're going to...
Allie Shipman.
I'm going 8-5. Allie Shipman, Megan Bloodworth, Dallas Goodnight. Either one of them sets yeah. up.
I'm going 5-1 on this game with Alabama winning. Excuse me. It's definitely going to be a good game, to say the least, for sure.
And I'm scared we're fixing to walk in a trap going to Baton Rouge. So I'm scared we're going to come back like after spring break and there's going to be like a loss. I'm like, oh.
I doubt it.
Especially the Kentucky series. Just.
Well, we'll have to see. The Kentucky series, I feel like this Alabama team is really different than the last. Like, there's just so many people that can hit. Ashley Pranger can hit. Allie Shipman can hit. Dallas Goodnight can hit. Jonah Johnson can hit. Megan Bloodworth can hit. Abby Doerr can hit. There's just so many people that can hit. And even the people that sit on the bench, Jenna Lord can hit. What's that other girl's name that sits? Like Callie can hit.
Cat Grill
doesn't sit, really. She's been playing. Okay. Cat Grill. Savannah Woodard, when she's back.
There we go.
She hits really good and she's fast. Stevens, I just can't remember. Jordan Stevens. Everybody can hit. So Kaylee Tao, when she's on, she's literally on a 17-game win streak right now. Like, this Alabama team has so many weapons, whether it's on the mound, defensive-wise, or behind the plate when they're batting. So I definitely don't see it not being good for the Tide at all. So honestly, Kentucky needs to be worried, and so does Florida State with their wish-washy self.
You better get together, Florida State.
Yep. So I'm definitely excited to see these games coming up.
Yep. Got a great, great slate of softball for spring break weekend.
Yeah, definitely. So that's all that we have for you guys this week. Thank you for tuning in. I am your host, Janae Lazenby.
And I'm Mikaelin Crabtree.
And this has been Softballing With Us. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.